welcome to Tara and Rama's Friday night hard news call. We're so grateful that you all are joining us tonight. This is Rainbird, and I'd like to do that opening meditation, calling into the directions. So let's just go into that heart space and take a few deep breaths. You can breathe into the count of 10, hold for the count of 10. Exhale for the count of 10. However you want to do that. The Cherokee way, you do 7, 7, 7, 7. 4 times. That's a good way. Get into that heart center. All you good gatekeepers of the East, come, look this way. We're grateful to you, rising sun. Thank you. Thank you for that. All those new beginnings. That freshness of that new day. Thank you for those visionaries that hold those dreams in the East. See that big picture. Eagles. Angels and commanders. And condors. Thank you. Thank you, all you white knights, doing your good work at this time. And all you ones who hold that space for their safety and well-being. So thank you, all you good beings of the East. Thank you for coming this way. Look this way, all you spirit keepers of the North. Come join us here at this round table. We're grateful to all these elders and teachers. Thank you for those midwives that are in the North, helping us cross those bridges like that between life and death and birth and death, past and future. So thank you. Thank you for that knowledge and that cold hard truth. We're grateful. That's how we know how to do our prayers, when we know the truth and have that knowledge and gain that wisdom. So we're grateful to remember all of our past lives so we don't have to repeat anything. We remember how to do what we're doing right now, even though it's due. So thank you, all you good spirit keepers of the North. And thank you, white buffalo calf woman, for bringing that good pipe medicine, that peace pipe. You have to go outside now so I can finish doing this, okay? Because you're too busy.
I need to go to the
bathroom. Okay. And that's a 5-year-old that just visiting us in our North section. So thank you for those 5-year-olds on their paths. Now, thank you for our lives and that peace pipe and how we do those prayers that way. So thank you, all you good spirit keepers of the North. Thank you, Elk, for that steady progress and how to carry that weight in balance and grace. So thank you for the grace. And thank you, all you good ones of the North. And all you good ones of the West, you gatekeepers here at that place where the Nogwal comes into our lives that way. That place of the dream time, the setting sun. Thank you for that night. Thank you for that darkness so that we might see. So thank you, Jaguar, for letting us ride on your back through that dream time. And thank you, Horse, reminding us how to stand in our power. And Bear, showing us how to go within. And Cat. So thank you, all you good ones of the West. Thank you for joining us here tonight. Thank you for that dream time. And that place of letting go of what no longer serves us. But thank you, all you good beings of the West. Thank you for joining us here at this round table. And all you good gatekeepers of the South, come look this way. We're so grateful for you. We're grateful for our community in our lives. How we can serve each other. And we're grateful for all the ways that we have childness and childlike in our lives and children in our lives and all the laughter and the fun and the dance and the growth and the trust and all those gifts that they bring to us and teach us and we remember in ourselves as our song. When we remember our song, thank you, South, and thank you for all those healing ways and those healing plants and those healing events in our life that we may always be healed. And thank you for community, for all the ways you show us how to do that. Thank you, all you good ones of the South, and all you little animals, all you good ones next to the ground, like the groundhog and the possum and the rabbit and the coyote, too. A little bit faster. All these good ones. Thank you for all of your teachings, showing us how to look up close and be stewards of the earth. All you, Sky Nation, all you good gatekeepers there, welcome. Thank you for joining us here tonight. All you good brothers and sisters in space, we're so grateful for your lives. Come, join us here at this Rainbow Rose Roundtable as we discuss our future in those future ways and remember who we are. And as star seeds. So thank you for reminding us who we are. And thank you for blessing our lives in all the ways that you do. May our lives be a blessing to you. So thank you, Sky Nation, and all you other planets, and the great central sun, and the great, great central sun, and Helios, and Vesta, all the beings in the universe, and Abaddon, and beyond. Thank you. For all of your lives and all of your teachings and technologies. So thank you, all you other beings of the sky, the thunder people and the lightning and the rain that waters our gardens and makes the plants grow so much and abundantly and happily. So thank you for that good rain. Thank you for that good lightning. So that we might learn quickly and better on our path. So thank you, all you good beings of the Sky Nation. Thank you for joining us. Mother Earth, Pachamama, come join us here tonight. We just love you so much. We're so grateful for you. Thank you. Thank you for letting us put our feet on you like that. Walk and on you and bringing that energy in our bodies, your loving energy. And thank you for that good dirt put my toes in the garden. I hope all of you can put your feet in the dirt. It is such a blessing, and we love all of Mother's kingdoms so much, so thank you for all your beautiful kingdoms and those two-leggeds and four-leggeds and those winged ones and finned ones and those creepy crawlies and all those healing plant kingdoms and the rock people and the gem people, those healing ones. But thank you. Thank you for all that you do for us, Mother Earth. Thank you for your abundance. Thank you for joining us here tonight. We're grateful for your presence. And all you ancestors, seven generations back and seven generations forward, come, look this way. Join us here as we do this work in this round table. We're grateful for all of your hearts. We're grateful for all of your lives. Thank you for your visions. Thank you for what you've done to progress us on the path. And we look forward to these future generations and to love and peace and balance in their lives. So thank you. Thank you for all those bone memories. And thank you for those heart memories as well. So, Aho Matakliasin. All my relations. And in Loch Esh, I am another yourself. So thank you all for showing up in your lives and being here. And I'd like to just continue on with giving you the housekeeping information. As we are a listener-supported radio program, we depend on each other to do this. And thank you for all of you that contributed last week. We had many gifts, and now we're down to just this week's fee of $300 and another $100. That's $400 is all we need. And we'll be caught up. So lots of blessings came in and lots of gratitude for all of you who sent those blessings and all of you who prayed for those blessings to arrive. So let me give you the information on how you can keep the ball rolling and send your gifts forward. So to bbsradio.com, click on Radio Station 2, and you'll find the icon that will allow you to go ahead and use your PayPal. And the icon you need to look for is the Hard News on Call with Tara and Rama on Friday night, or Marita Pickett's call the Stargate Roundtable on Thursday, or the Saturday call with Tara and Rama, the History of Nisera call. Any one of those icons will do the job. So that's where you go, and that takes it to the right place. And then the other way to do it is to send a check or money order through the mail directly to BBS Network, comma, Incorporated. 5167 Toyon, T-O-Y-O-N, Lane, L-A-N-E. And that's in Paradise, California. So the zip code at Paradise is 95969. And then furthermore, as you want to connect with Tara and Rama and send something directly to Rama, his address is Ron D. Berkowitz, R-A-M, D as in David, B as in boy, B-E-R-K-O-W-I-T-Z, and then that's 1704B-1704B as in boy, Llano Street, L-L-A-N-O, Street number 249. And it's in Santa Fe, New Mexico, 87505. And as you're sending something to Rama, please send him an email to let him know. That email address is Koran, K-O-R-A-N, 999, at Comcast.net. And furthermore, you can make a donation online at the blog site, which is 2013 Rainbow Roundtable .ning.com. And there's a donate button on the homepage and another one just above the blog section. That'll take you to Rama's PayPal account, and you can make a donation that way. If you need to make a phone contact, you can call Marita at 317-773-0061. So that's Marita. That number is 317-773-0061. And that's all there is. So thank you for your lives and for all the ways that you show up in your lives. So 14 thank yous and honey in the heart. I pass this talking stick, this rainbow rose talking stick, to you, Tara and Rama. Greetings.
Greetings and very well met, sister. I always feel that we are surrounded with absolute beauty when you get finished with the four directions. Thank you so much, my dear sister.
Thank you, four watchers.
Well, would you please talk to your inner rainbird and ask for some rain for the Southwest? We're back in that fire warning.
Yeah, it's not so good.
It's raging hot down here. Oh, my. But I just got to say thank you, everybody. I don't know how we did it, but, you know, just today we got a couple of $100 in today. People put their minds to their hearts and something happened. So we thought we were going to have to say we owe $600 and now we only owe $400. So that's a whole big good quantum jump to goodness. And keep inviting more people. I just want to say I'm still quite stoked about what Bill Maher said, and we talked about it last night, that he listens to our shows on a very regular basis for quite a long time, and so do a whole pile of people from Hollywood, and everybody in D.C. is listening to our shows. So, and remember, they're all under gag orders, so they can't send any money. It's up to us pea-picking hearts here that are sitting here squawking because we want to figure out where we're going to get enough to eat tomorrow.
Yeah.
That's that gag order thing, but it's not too far down the road. Things are
hopping.
They are hopping. And Barack Obama gave an interesting speech today at the Normandy event. And on Tom Hartman, somebody called up and said, you know, we're all praising the American savior here to end the war. And it was really Russia. You know, we 100,000 went down at Normandy, but we kind of ended, you know, we won in the sense over Germany. Yet Russia's really the people that took Germany down, and it's called the Operation Bagration, and they destroyed a place called Wehrmacht, and it was 2.43 million men that were in that little battle that went by.
The Eastern Front.
The Eastern Front. And here they are squashing, you know, Putin. And, you know, that's what we were saying, too, that Putin saved the Ukrainian people's lives. And we also heard, though, that the Ukrainian nationals are the Nazis. And that's what we got in Kyiv right now. The Ukrainian nationals committed mass genocide by killing the Polish people in Ukraine. And they killed tons of them.
And
I'm just saying, we got a lot to learn.
And that fake president called the chocolate billionaire, the Easter Bunny, needs to take a bite out of him.
The Easter Bunny.
I was thinking of that movie, The Rise of the Guardians, where the Easter Bunny shows up with the...
That's a very good movie if you haven't seen it, everybody. That is a very good movie.
Yeah. And what is going on is an absolute fiasco of the highest proportions. Sam Cedar today really knocked it out of the park, basically talking about the...
Russia lost 1.8 million of their men by going in and killing 2.43 million of the Nazis.
Yeah.
What a deal.
And what Sam Cedar shared with this story about D-Day is, in fact, he told the story about a man who was like an errand boy. And this, you know, Sam Cedar kind of goes into the realm. Tom Hartman can't. He is, in a sense, he goes a bit farther than even Randy Rhoads, because Sam Cedar hangs out with Mike Papantonio and Bobby Kennedy Jr., Ring of Fire. And they are going to bring into the conversation here Janine Garofalo and Robert Kennedy Jr., Bobby, and, you know, Mr. Mike Papantonio. And all of this has to do with the absolute insanity going on, where we got the Nazis right in the seat of power, and they want to make claims on that seat of power without love, since June is, you know, like Patty Kolder-Robles has said in her latest message, June is the time for ascension. And the frequencies that are going on, these guys have absolutely nowhere to turn except to go into the realm, finding a place to get cool.
Yeah, it's not much place to, for kitties to get cool. I'm sorry. Go ahead, honey.
And that they have lost it, the Nazis over here, meaning the Republican Party. And each day that passes, Bo Bergdahl, sitting there in that hospital, is getting better, and he's beginning to kind of share in conversation what happened over there. Sam Cedar said that. He didn't give details. He just said, when this guy starts fully articulating what he saw,
he's going to expose atrocity after atrocity that the American soldiers did, and that's why they don't like this situation.
And let's just say we are going to need Dr. Daniel Jackson to tell the real story about this and decode the hieroglyphics that have to do with the ziggurats and the Stargate. And oh my God. I mean, this is the real story, because 9/11 was just an inside job to create a gigantic distraction. Osama, what's his name, never did it. These five guys, like Rachel Meadows said yesterday, they were picked up. I mean, they were the five guys that were exchanged for Bo. Basically have spent the entire time, practically, since we did 9/11 in Gitmo Bay.
Oh, yeah. Let me get this right. Three of them were in from the very beginning, so that's 12 years. And the other two got in there about 2 months later, so they were in 12 years too, minus 2 months from the other one.
And one of these guys,
really bad.
Sam Cedar brought this up because Amy brought it up today. She had on a civil rights lawyer who was representing one of these guys. One of these guys just happens to be a negotiation mediator. He knows how to mediate conflicts and create resolutions, especially in crisis situations. Yet God forbid, those kinds of stories should come out in the midst of trying to lay the blame in the name of Islam that they did 9/11. Not so. And when all of this really begins to come out, it's really going to be a fancy dance for these Nazis / Republicans, and I do mean to call them that because that is what they are. They do not represent the interests of the American people.
Anybody else except themselves.
They represent the interests of the transnational corporations and the folks that will sell your mother for a dime, and your granny, and your father.
There was another story on Tom Hartman this morning, Rama told me about, and this gentleman called in, and he was someone who was in Germany during World War II, and he was talking about...
I got to find the name of that castle, yeah.
A castle... I think in Waldenburg or something like that, Germany.
Yeah, it's pronounced with the V, but
Waldenburg, but Waldenburg, it's the double W. It's a W at the beginning, so we have to just look on the map.
A while back, we played a video about this, and it was called the Third Eye is a Pineal Gland, and it... goes into the story of the Tesseract, the Infinity Stones, and how Hitler was obsessed with getting a hold of the Tesseract, the other Infinity Stones, the Gauntlet of Power, along with the Spear of Destiny, Geronimo's Skull, and the Ark of the Covenant, along with all the other artifacts that would make him, the absolute so-called...
Anyway, the Nazis bought the... Heinrich Himmler bought the castle and all the area around it and kicked all the villagers out.
And then they turned the castle... I mean, they literally, with the stonemasons and the way Hitler had gobs of money, they built this castle to resemble the pineal gland.
Yeah, that's right. And then they moved in, the Nazis and the Thule Society and the top elitists, rich religious fanatics of the SS into the castle.
And
all the surrounding area.
Tom Hartman literally just said these guys were a religious cult, the true believers, that they believed Hitler was the second Messiah that was going to this castle, Waldenburg, I think that's how it's pronounced, was going to be the new Vatican, and they were going to do away with the other Vatican, which doesn't quite make sense, because at the time, Pope Pius XII was in bed with Hitler, which is a whole nother ball of works, and they described how Hitler and Heinrich Himmler and Hermann Goering and these other SS officers, they even invited Madame Blavatsky to come and channel at this castle.
Oh, did she accept?
She did. And she brought...
Well, she had her gear with her called Saint Germain El Moria.
Right, and she gave them a talking to in German, and they all turned a lovely shade of white. And
This lady was multilingual. She could speak many languages, yeah. She was from Russia. That's very interesting. They're consulting their enemy.
Right. My enemy of my enemy is my friend. And what Tom talked about, though, in particular with this castle in the pineal gland and the DMT.
Yeah, they used to take magic mushrooms.
They were all and they would do these channelings in the castle, in a certain area of the castle that was geometrically set up. As they would do these channelings, they would, you know, Hitler would bring through the shadow side of Alcyone, which was called Jehovah. And Hitler actually believed that he was bringing forth the ascended beings that were going to help him create his thousand years of his Reich. And
that I don't buy that. I think he knew what he was doing because he was a transcendent soul.
That's right.
And he was invoking Jehovah intentionally. Or you might say an archangelic presence that they call Lucifer.
That's right.
His son, you know, and had not an ounce of good intentions.
No.
So they did their little thing, right?
Right.
San Geronimo's skull. Did they get the hold of that?
They never got a hold of Geronimo's skull. In fact,
the only thing they got was the Spear of Destiny then.
And then at the end of the war, the Spear of Destiny mysteriously disappeared.
That's
and
right.
Who got it? Let's just say it's sitting in the Smithsonian Institute. Indeed.
Oh, my.
Yeah, and whoever holds the Spear of Destiny, let's just say it's like the Ark of the Covenant, and like what was said in the beginning of Raiders of the Lost Ark when the professor was talking to Professor Indiana Jones, whoever holds the Spear of Destiny and the Ark of the Covenant, that army, it can rule the planet. That's what Hitler wanted. But there were 9 Arks of the Covenant, and Rommel, which was another incarnation of Yeshu, because Yeshu knew the dark destiny of this story. Rommel gave that Ark of the Covenant back to Astar. And it's in safekeeping. The other 8 Arks of the Covenant, I am not sure where they are. I'm sure Astar knows. And this is quite a wild story.
Do you have something cooking in there?
Where? What?
Do you have anything? No.
No, not me.
Oh, okay.
Not unless you didn't turn a burner off.
No.
No, okay. Also, you know, they had a ceremony anyway at Normandy.
Yeah.
And all these world leaders and all these militaries from the United States, from Germany, from France, the whole regalia. And I just wanted to say that last night, Barack Obama and Putin met, and they talked for 10 or 15 minutes. And today they were smiling at each other. And the news tells everything the opposite.
That's right.
They're saying they're all enemies. And, all these lizards from the European Union are, swearing on a stack of Bibles. And Barack is just going along with the program that they're all going to put more sanctions on Putin. And I'm just going to say they know something. Like we said, they are working together along with President Xi. And all things considered, this is moving quite strongly. And I was watching Angela Merkel. She is not a happy camper.
No.
It's getting closer and closer to the time when she's going to have to speak before the world court. Remember what we read last night. We read about the Fourth Reich coming into being right after World War II, and that a couple of little predecessors to the European Union, and then here we go, and this is a whole Nazi operation of the Fourth Reich kind, this entire European Union. And then our sister, Sakur Prashad, who, she's our... she's our landlady, and she's from Spain. She's an Iberian, you might say a Celtic
Celtic
Spanish lady, so she's of the direct lineage of Sananda Kumara and Magdalene, because they went to Spain first through the Strait of Gibraltar, and then they went up to Scotland, and then over to Ireland. Yes, they did.
Yeah.
But anyway, and some stayed in different places. But anyway, she said there's a new party. It's called the People's Party in Spain. And there's this man, his name is Pablo Iglesias. And we got to play that if we're going to play it right now. You got that queued up for that lady from Egypt. We got to do that right now.
Yeah, right. It's 17 minutes.
Yeah. They won five seats in the European Union's parliament. That's amazing, because they only formed 2 months before the election. And this young gentleman, Pablo Iglesias, he's a university professor with a ponytail and a long hair, like a radical hippie, you know, over there. That's not like Spain at all. But all these young youths just rallied behind this, you know, knowing that 65% of the youth, graduates or not, don't have a single thing to do, no jobs, no nothing. So they did this within 2 months, and they won five seats in the parliament. That's amazing. And I said, that means the foot's in the door. Because, you know, all the rest of these people are extremely right-wing that won in this election. It was just like, duh, what happened?
And the son of the king of Spain is taking over, and he's broiled in scandal.
But now, wait a minute. Yeah. What I wanted to say about that is that it makes sense that the son... I mean, that the right-wingers were coming in there, even though that includes the Nazis. But remember, the Fourth Reich was formed through the Democrats.
Yep.
So, I mean, everything's upside down. I have no idea what's going on. But all I can say is that's just, like, stunning news. I think the party is called Podemos, and it means we can. I just thought that was quite amazing. So we're going to play something. This is Gigi Ibrahim, and this is an extended interview. It's 17 minutes. We better get started. It's with John Stewart, and she's an Egyptian activist, and she's got plenty to say about what's going on in Egypt.
Ouch.
My. You know that comedian that he had on, John Stewart from Egypt.
Right.
He quit, or he resigned, because they basically ran him out.
They want to put him in jail for speaking out.
They also want to kill him. It's basically the way it is. But anyway, wrap everything in the violet flame, everyone. Let's go, sweetheart. Did you get that? Is that commercial free?
I hope. I don't know.
Well, you got to turn that little thing down in case it isn't.
Okay.
Here we go.
It's getting there.
I don't know. You might have to
Let me do that. And then there might be a commercial.
Okay, just got a little bit of a commercial here, folks. Can't get around the commercials.
No, just a second.
There was somebody killed in Georgia, just a little bit between Atlanta and where Richard lives. And it was, he had a court case.
Okay.
All right. Well, my guest tonight, she is an activist with the Revolutionary Socialists in Egypt. Please welcome back to the program, Gigi Ibrahim. Gigi, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
The last time you were here, It was, I believe it was 2009.
No.
11. 11. Yeah. 2011.
The revolution, you know?
The revolution, right after Mubarak.
Yes.
There was, it was, there was almost exultation. There was excitement.
Yes.
The people had taken to the streets. They had taken down this autocrat who had been there for 30 years.
Yep.
So how's it been going since then?
We did it again.
You did it again?
Yes, but not so successful this time. We managed to topple another head of regime. That was just the face, but
that
the military.
Was President Morsi, of the Muslim Brotherhood. They, they won the election.
Exactly. And, you know, the military since 1952 really has been there and hasn't gone anywhere. And it's just getting stronger. Now we have the first president, the head of the Supreme Council of the Armed Forces.
Now, this is Sisi.
Sisi, Abdel Fattah Sisi. He is now president with 96.6%.
Boy, you can't argue with that kind of number.
Democracy, yes, yes.
There's almost nothing that can get that kind. You could put ice cream up against cancer in an election.
Yeah.
Probably be closer than that.
Absolutely. Like, it seems like every time we just manage to do an uprise and kind of get the demands, the freedom, bread, social justice. This is kind of why we did this in the first place, to take down the dictator. Now we just get worse and worse. And you can say that we are at the lowest point of the revolution with over 41,000 political prisoners in just 10 months.
Incredible. Here's what's so difficult for me to comprehend. That you could almost say that Morsi and the Muslim Brotherhood were the more liberal regime. They were the progressives compared to Sisi. He has put in that there was more freedom of expression under the Brotherhood, it seems.
Not exactly.
Yeah.
Yes, it's definitely, it wasn't as bad, but Morsi did his fair share to deserve to be taken down as
well. I just meant it more comparatively. Sisi appears to
be. It gets worse.
It gets worse.
It gets worse because then the revolution is deepening and it's getting to the military and the interest of the military. Of course, they don't want the revolution to succeed because then they would be in prison with all the bloods in their hand.
Yes. But so they've instituted things like no protest. You are not allowed anymore.
Yeah.
At least under the Brotherhood, people did come out to the streets.
Yes. And, you know, we always say, yes, maybe we didn't achieve all the big demands of the revolution, but at least we broke the barrier of fear. We have people who can express themselves. We have, you know, social media. We have different personalities on TV that can, you know, express the opposition.
Or did have.
Yeah. But as you can see now, every little thing we've won over the past 3 years, really, whether it be the right to protest that we won with blood and tears, really, and just lives of revolutionaries and people who really won this right to go out and protest. Mm-hmm. And then you have the biggest protest in the modern history of Egyptian history.
Really, with, almost any history. The really, millions really, that took the streets in June 30th was remarkable.
You know, some people say 33 million, 17 million. I really don't care, but it was the biggest thing I've ever been in and or even witnessed or seen or read about. It was really crazy. And the government that comes after this mass protest criminalizes protesting and imprisons over 41,000 political prisoners.
Well, that's so you're the T-shirt. Obviously, that's not something you probably got on the Jersey boardwalk. What are we dealing with here?
This is Mahinour al-Masri. She is one of the bravest, courageous socialist activist and revolutionary, human rights lawyer as well, and labor lawyer. And she has been sentenced to 2 years in prison along with seven other people
for
protesting at a Khaled Saeed murderous trial in Alexandria.
Now explain that. That's
yes, Khaled Saeed was murdered under the hands of police under emergency law under Mubarak in 2010, and he has been a great catalyst to the revolution. What sparked the youth to take to the streets and topple down essentially Mubarak, And his murderers were acquitted or given a very weak sentence, and they were retried after creating so many pressure. So at the trial back in late 2013, the Alexandria activist Mahinur, Hassan Mustafa, and so many, 37 other people, they organized a protest to kind of pressure to give a harsher sentence, and they were rounded up and sentenced under the anti-protest law that the government enacted last November. Under that law, it pretty much is a legal justification to just kill off the opposition and weaken the revolution and throw them in jail.
And do whatever.
And what we're talking about, jail conditions here, you have solitary confinement, denying of medical care, torture, abuse, rape. You can think of anything that is so inhumane. It's being done in Egyptian prison, and nobody's talking. Mass
Is the media in Egypt, are they allowed to bring this up in any way? Are they allowed to talk about Mahinur?
No. Exactly.
It has to come from outside.
How they talk about Mahinur and the thousands of people like Mahinur in prison who joined the revolution, who took part, or who have been just randomly arrested. Mm-hmm. They talk about them as fifth columnists to the Muslim Brotherhood, that they are terrorists, that they want to bring the state down. Right. They vilify them in the media or don't discuss them at all, and absolutely say that the first and the foremost thing that we have to do now is fight terrorism. And these are the terrorists.
Can you imagine a country that would
human
restrict
rights.
Civil rights under the guise of fighting terrorism? That's...
Yeah.
We're not so different after all. You
know,
No.
You know, with the Syria elections and the elections coming up, you know, we all have to choose with the relative, you know.
It's all on a scale.
It's all on a scale, yes. But you're always choosing between bad and worse. And that's not a democracy.
That is the worst success story I've ever heard.
Everybody.
I'm so glad that you're here. Will you stick around for a little bit? We'll talk a little bit more about what's going on with our friend Bassem, what's going on now with the movement, if it's okay for you to be here, because now I'm concerned, because how many movies can I write? And we'll be back with more Gigi Ibrahim.
Commercial break, everybody. This is what we're talking about. This is the true thing that Nasara is about. This is what we have all been mandating each other to work with. Real activism. Tag, we're all it. Beautiful Egyptian woman. Just beautiful soul and being and inside of there. And risking their lives like you can't even imagine over there. And of course, over here, like Michael Hastings was murdered because he exposed. Amy Goodman had another third show. 3 out of 5 shows this week were on Bo, and that's it's linked.
So I am part of the.
You're
same
part
group.
Of her group.
Yes,
they can
exactly.
Do that. We're back. We're talking to Gigi Ibrahim. She had visited us after the April Revolution, where Mubarak was overthrown, and then of course Morsi became the president. He was overthrown, deposed. Sisi came in. Now he is. The thing about Sisi that I want to make clear, though, is he is popular. This is not a situation where he has lost Egypt. If you went through the streets, Sisi, there is true popularity here for this man. Yes?
When you place people under curfew for 5 months and suspend railroads and then censor all TV and media, and whether private or state-owned, and you have not one voice that is saying anything different than what is being fed to you in this media, just very similar, like, you know, in many countries. Then the people want a stability, they want life, and they want to have their bread and, you know, and stable life, and imagining that this has been going on for 3 years, so people also feel like the revolution didn't change anything, so being the military the backbone of the country, and how many people fantasize about the era of Nasser and so on,
right.
They tend to have faith in the military because they can't really see an alternative to power. And
right.
Morsi really had the opportunity to show something else, but he completely threw that in the trash and just followed in the footsteps of Mubarak, which ultimately gave him the end of being removed.
This is it's a broader discussion, but it seems like the region is trapped between two relatively authoritarian extremes.
Absolutely.
One is that sort of pan-Arabist Nasser, military
mm-hmm.
rule. But the other is a more militant mosque that is also somewhat authoritarian.
Yeah.
So where is the space for a more progressive or democratic? Yes. And where do you build, it makes sense that the Brotherhood filled the vacuum after Mubarak because they were the most organized. The mosque
yep.
was very organized.
Yep.
It makes sense that the military would fill the vacuum once Morsi left. How do the people
yes.
in the street, in the square, organize well enough to also provide people hope for stability? And is that a possible thing
yes.
to do within
that
region?
There are two points in this. First of all, people, when you live under poverty, they're just thinking about their bread and butter. They're not going to even start thinking about politics or freedom or anything like that if they don't have anything to eat.
Right.
So first of all, poverty. And second of all, a little space for activists like us or like Mahinur or the thousands that are in prison that can work and organize to build an alternative to power, to build a third way. This is what we've been trying to do for the past 3 years. And yes, we were, so busy running around squares and maybe not doing making the best decisions, but we're learning through the process of revolution. This will take years. And we're hoping as revolutionary socialists or as revolutionaries to build alternative to power through the process of revolution.
Mm-hmm.
And this takes years.
Yeah.
This takes years, but you need at least the space to do it. So when you censor social media and monitor it and try to detain activists, from just basically what they write, or you criminalize protest, or you, stop the Bassem Youssef show and any kind of silence, any voice of opposition or anybody who is critical of the government, then
right.
how are you going to build and organize people on the ground that then will hopefully put the democracy that we are aiming for.
Is there a civic infrastructure that the people of Egypt could involve themselves in on a more local level, away from the mosque, away from the military, that allows them to build those skills, to earn the trust of the people? Or is that a bit of a
right
a
now thing? That place and
yeah.
that space is very small.
Very nice.
And this is what we're trying to do at the moment, is preserve whatever political space of freedom that we have left and protect and kind of like build on the ground on that little small voice that is still raising the voice of the dream of the bread, freedom, social justice, of these principles that the revolution stood for to begin with. So we're hoping to just, hold on to the space so
yeah.
we can build and organize people. But do we have the space? As you
not
can
right
see,
no.
We don't. We really don't. It comes at a very high risk. So if you go out and you start talking a different rhetoric than the government and the military, you're automatically labeled as a terrorist, as a Muslim Brotherhood, as, a traitor, as an agent of the West, as someone who
right.
should be criminalized and put in jail. And then you go to jail and you die or you suffer, you get tortured. And we've been in this circle and it's very depressing. But at the same time, so many people are fighting on the ground. So many people, even if we're so few and we have less of a voice than we had 3 years ago,
mm-hmm.
we still can make an impact just to fight for that dream, and we will fight for it, and we will win. And inevitably, I believe that we will win.
No, I do think that inevitably
Yeehaw.
This is the direction that societies, if they don't wish to collapse upon themselves, have to go.
Yeah.
You think making it big is easy? If it was, I would have played it safe and kept my day job.
I got something.
You need a baby heel.
I think you don't know what.
We'll play the other part on the other side because we only got 2 minutes. And there's just about 2 minutes left, but we'll play it when we come back. And in the meantime, I am totally in awe about what's going on in this activism realm. again, this new party, the We Can Party in Spain, and it's all the youth that's doing this, the Universidad students. And that just reminds me, down there in Chile, this one university student, he burned all the records of all the loans of all the students. And he said, no records, no loans.
No debt.
No debt. We don't owe you nothing, nada.
No say.
I'm just saying, the courage that's going on around this planet. Bless us all. We are one, and we are the ones we've been waiting for, Tag. We are all it. We'll see you on this next hour. The number is 2 on a conference line. It's 213-342-3000. The PIN code tonight is 23-23-23 pound. And we'll see you on the top of the next hour at BBS Radio, best radio in the universe. Satnam.